lessons on God's plan of salvation as I intend to begin this morning. And about the second lesson into the series, I had a Christian sister ask me to come over and visit with her. She was upset. And so I went to visit with her and I said, "What's upsetting you? How can I help you?" And she said, "Well, Dennis," she says, "I've heard those lessons, those same lessons on baptism this, baptism that, salvation this, salvation that. They're just nothing but Church of Christ issues, and I'm tired of hearing Church of Christ issues." She says, "I want to hear more about God's love. I want to hear more about God's mercy. I want to hear more about God's grace. I want to hear more about Jesus Christ on the cross." And she went on and she had these other topics that she wanted me to preach on. And I said, "Well, sister," I said, "you know that I preach on those other things quite often." I said, "But let me ask you a question." I said, "Is everyone that attends the congregation, have they obeyed the gospel and are they Christians?" And she said, "Well, no." And I said, "Well, what good will lessons on God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness be to them if they can't put themselves in the access of receiving those great and wonderful gifts?" I said, "If they haven't obeyed the gospel, they need to obey the gospel. Wouldn't you agree with that?" And she said, "Well, yes." And I said, "Well, that's the reason why I do this." And she kind of halfway understood. She still wanted her way about things. It's kind of the way we are sometimes. But as I start this series of lessons, I want you to understand that I know that probably a great majority, probably over 80% of the folks in this audience don't really need these lessons because you've already obeyed the gospel. But I also know that there are some in this audience that have not obeyed the gospel. And it's to you that I ask that you truly listen closely to the lessons that are about to be taught, because they're very important and I would say vital to your soul's salvation. At the same time, to those who have heard these lessons over and over again for many years, I want you to listen closely for this reason. We need to continue to reaffirm our faith. We have reached a moment within our brotherhood where not everyone who has Church of Christ on the billboard or sign believes in the same plan of salvation that the Bible teaches, nor do they practice it. So we can't always be for sure that those who call themselves our brothers and sisters will believe in God's plan of salvation. And we need to reaffirm our faith in what the Bible teaches on that issue. At the same time, I want you to listen closely because I want you to be able to teach these same principles to those who are around you that have not obeyed the gospel. How confident are you in bringing the gospel to others? How confident are you in saying that I can sit down with someone who has not obeyed the gospel and I can teach them exactly what they need to do in order to be saved? I hope most of you can say that. But if you are here this morning and you don't quite have that confidence, well, here's an opportunity for you to write some things down and jot some scriptures down as we go over some things. And hopefully it will help you with your confidence to be able to say that I can share this with my neighbor. I can share this with my family member. I can share this with my job worker, my acquaintances, and my friends. Because this is what needs to be shared with the lost of our world. And folks, the lost are the majority within our world. And so these messages and lessons on God's plan of salvation are things that I like to do every couple or every 3 years for sure, because I don't always know what everyone's background is as far as how they've come to the Lord, if they've come to the Lord, if they've obeyed the gospel. And so I always want to make sure that they have heard the word as God intended it to be taught. And at the same time, I think that it's very important that we continue to reaffirm our faith in this and what the Bible teaches on the way that we need to be saved. There are numerous plans of salvation across the wide scope of Christianity today. Are they all okay? Does God allow us the authority to implement plans that are not found in His Word? We must accept that the Bible is God's only authoritative word for mankind. If we do not accept this, then we ride a roller coaster of chaos for the rest of our lives, in which the only way we can find serenity is to ease our conscience, is to believe the lies of man firm to the bitter end. And there will be a bitter end if that's the road that we choose. And so as we begin our study on God's plan of salvation, it is very important and very vital that we all accept the fact and the premise that God's Word is the authoritative Word by which we can know, not think, not simply attempt to believe, but that we can know, in which we can be saved and we can look forward to eternity with God. And so it is that we need to establish this. And if you're ever in a Bible study with someone, it's one of the first things that you have to establish. Because it's a very difficult Bible study in teaching folks what the Bible teaches if they don't believe that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God and believe every word in it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says this: "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." You understand that that's telling us that this Word, the Bible, gives us everything we need in order to equip us spiritually. Everything we need to know is right here. There's not anything, as we'll look at in just a moment, there's not anything that we can add to this or take away from it that'll make it better. It is perfect in every way, in every form, in every fashion. And so it is by the Word of God that we will find what we need to know for God's plan of salvation. Do we want to pass through life and head into the day of judgment spiritually complete or incomplete? This scripture tells us we can be complete. How many of us want to only know a portion, only do a portion of God's Word, and be incomplete whenever we stand before our Almighty God someday? We need to know God's Word so that we can stand complete, so that we can be ready whenever we stand before Jesus Christ in the day of judgment. Common sense shows us the necessity for making things complete, doesn't it? I want you to think about this for a moment. Ladies, perhaps you have a husband that has been talented enough that maybe the home that you live in was made by his hands. But I want you to, even if you don't have that kind of husband, and Donna doesn't have that kind of husband, but even if you don't have that kind of husband, I want you to think within your imagination this morning. What if your husband had that talent? What if he had the means and the money and the access to build you your dream home? And you go and you lay out the plans and the schemes of all the things you want in this dream home. And your husband goes to work and he starts building this dream home for you. And he lays the foundation, and it's a strong foundation. And he builds the walls with the finest materials. And he goes in and he bricks it or he rocks it and makes it sturdy and secure. And he puts in beautiful windows for you to see out into the great and wonderful nature that God has made. And then he goes and he puts the texture upon the walls and builds all the insides and puts all the nice things like the great cabinet space. You know, that's one of the big things for the ladies, having lots of cabinet space in the kitchen. and having areas to move around with leisure, and you go and you put all the furniture in there and all the fixings in there, and you've got this house, and your husband says, "Here you are, hon, your dream home." And you go in and you stand in this house and you notice that for some reason there's an awful lot of light. It's got all of the foundation. It's got all the structures. It's got all the furniture. It's got everything you wanted. But whenever you look up, there's no roof on top of it. It's incomplete. Now, common sense would tell us that's not a house. That's not a home. It's not completed. We can look at things in life and realize this is not complete. And you know what? It's frustrating to us whenever we see things and experience things that are not complete. We like things to be complete. Why is it that some people want completeness in their life and they want to make sure that everything they go about in life is completed in the way that it needs to be completed so that it can be successful? But whenever it comes to their spiritual welfare, they fall short. Incomplete is satisfactory to so many people within our world and society. Folks, whenever it comes to spirituality, if there is one thing and only one thing that we could possibly complete in our life, it needs to be our spiritual foundation. It needs to be our spiritual life. Our spiritual life needs to be complete, and God has given us the means by which we complete that. It's called His Word. Can we have a relationship with God and Christ without following the complete Word of God? Have you ever had anyone tell you that it really doesn't matter what we believe as long as Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we believe that He's the Son of God, we're all heading in the same direction? Raise your hand if you've had somebody tell you that. That's what I thought. You know, that tends to be the real trendy spiritual saying of the world today. And I don't know how many folks, you know, as soon as they find out that I'm a preacher, and they start talking about spiritual things, that's one of the sayings that they bring up. Well, you know, I know that you're preaching at the Church of Christ. Well, I belong to this denomination over here. And you know, it doesn't really matter anyway. As long as we all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're all headed in the same direction anyway. Is that necessarily true? Whenever we take a look at God's Word, we find that that's not necessarily true. In fact, that's a lie. There is comfort in that thought, but you have to force yourself to believe in the lie in order for it to be comfortable. On the other hand, 2 John verse 9 says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Now, one of the things that we're going to show starting next week is the fact that the Bible does not teach that all we have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we can be saved. That is not how the New Testament Christians in the book of Acts were being saved. That's not the pattern that they followed. That's a simplistic way that the world likes to teach today, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And so in order to believe that and follow that, we have to step outside the Word of God. We have to add to the Word of God or take away from the Word of God in order for us to believe that. And instead, we are following and believing a lie. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." We cannot follow or accept something simply on the notion that it looks and feels religious. And yet look around you at the so-called world of Christianity today. And isn't that what's going on? Why is there over 30,000 different groups all claiming Jesus Christ as their Savior? Is that ever what Christ intended of His church? We know that it's not. But how is it that we got to that point? How is it that there is over 30,000 different groups today who are worshiping and practicing and believing in such ways that they do? Because somewhere along the way they decided, you know what, if it looks and feels religious, it's okay. So if I want to do this and it looks and feels religious, it's okay. Even if I don't find it in God's Word, even though if it's not consistent with what is taught there. The real litmus test should be, is it right or is it wrong according to God's Word? Not how does it feel. Feelings are not a good barometer on what is truth. But what is right and what is wrong? Again, God has given us a way that we can know that. God has given us His Word that directs us into all righteousness. Again, so that the man of God may be complete for every good work. Do we have the authority to add to or take away or change the Word of God in order to make it more accommodating to our culture or lifestyles? It's a good question to ask because, again, when we look around us, there's lots of folks doing that, right? And so it is that we need to ask, do we have the right? Do we have the authority? Does God give us the authority to add to and take away from His Word? You know, many of you have heard Ed Lobol's story about the lady which he was trying to teach her God's plan of salvation and telling her that she needed to repent and be baptized, and that it's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And she said, that verse isn't in my book. And he told her, he said, why, surely it's in your book. And she said, no, it's not. He said, well, let's turn to it. And so it is that she turned to her Bible, and that verse was cut out. She was honest. Wasn't in her Bible. But you know, that's what a lot of folks like to do. They may not do it as literally as what that woman does, but whenever it comes to some verses within the Bible, some people have contention with that, and so they believe that they can just take it away by ignoring it. Or if there's some more that they would like to do. Maybe worship isn't, maybe worship's too stale for them. Maybe they need a little more life, you know, instead of bringing it from their heart to their God. A lot of them want for the music director and the preacher to bring it to their heart. You know, they want to be the entertained. And so in order to do that, sometimes you got to add some scriptures in there that will allow you that practice, because God's Word doesn't allow a lot of the practices that are going on in Christianity today. And so it is that God's Word tells us that we are not allowed to add to or take away. As much as folks want to do so, here's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 through 19 says this, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." And you know what? You find a similar passage in the book of Deuteronomy that says the same thing. But I've always found it interesting that this verse happens to fall in the very last chapter of the book of Revelation. You know, I think that's the providence of God. Because whenever I study the book of Revelation, although it is relevant in a very small way to the message of the book of Revelation, it's more relevant whenever you put it into perspective of God's Word, according to the New Testament. See, I know God knew that we would tend to put the book of Revelation in the last book. It's the way it happens in time. It's the way it was wrote in history. And so it's put in the last as being one of the last recorded writings of the apostles. But I think that God knew that. And as Christ gave this last bit of instruction to John, I think it was meant to be an instruction that reflected on God's whole word. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And those who would add to it and take away from it, it's not going to be good for them in the end or in their life. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia, he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." So we can't change it, Paul? No. We can't distort it a little bit, maybe to make it fit our lives a little easier? No. We can't pervert it, make it what we want it to say? No. Well, what happens, Paul, if we do so? "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." And if that wasn't enough, as if to emphasize it, he repeated it for a second time. "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." I promise you, brothers and sisters, that that is an area of Scripture, along with James chapter 3 and verse 1, that I have always reflected on and taken very seriously in my life. I am responsible for what I teach to you. I am responsible for what I preach to you. And if I preach and teach things to you that are contrary to God's word, my soul is in jeopardy of eternal damnation. And so it is a thought that sobers me in everything that I do. But it should also be a thought that sobers you. You have a responsibility to make sure that what I tell you is correct, that what I tell you is consistent with God's word. You have a responsibility of making sure that you live your life according to what God gives us, not adding to it, not taking away from it, just as it is to be preached and taught. It has always amazed me about the double standards that people use in their lives. You know, when you look at, again, an everyday life example, there are a lot of folks that have to take prescription medication. Let's have a little interaction again. How many of you are taking prescription medication? Yeah, it's like that, isn't it? I mean, that's just kind of become a commonplace. You know, we've all got little ailments or little situations in our life. Some of them are big situations in our life that we have to take prescription medication for. And it's always been an interesting thing to me that when you're given your medication, your doctor has already gone through a very extensive search of understanding what you are already taking and what it is he's about to add to that everyday chart of pills. And there's a reason for that. Some drugs don't interact well. Some drugs have a chemical reaction that's bad for your body. And so it is, you have to be careful what you add to the other drugs. On the other hand, he has to be careful what he takes away from that regimen of prescription medication that he gives you for your ailments. He has to be very careful and very cautious. And the interesting thing is, you're also very careful and cautious. How many of you sometimes get a new prescription of medication and you go home and you look on the label and you get that term for that medication and you go online and you search and see what it is that it says about that medication? Any of y'all do that? Yeah. You know, it's just good common sense, because sometimes doctors make mistakes too, right? And you want to know what those side effects are, and you want to know what it's going to interact with and what it won't interact with, because you may be taking several different medications. So you're careful in your everyday life about adding to and taking away from certain aspects of your life, because it could be disastrous, a calamity. Why is it that so many folks within our world today will go through great precautions to make sure that their bodies have exactly what they need, and that their bodies have that perfect chemistry going on so that everything will work well, but they will neglect their spiritual lives? They will add to God's Word, or they will take away from God's Word and not feel like it's an important thing at all. Not realize the calamity that's taking place to them spiritually. That's a double standard. It also shows us that we care more sometimes for the physical body than we do the spiritual body. But you and I know better. You and I know what we need for our spiritual welfare. You and I know that we need the Word of God, and that we need to adhere to the Word of God in order to be spiritually correct and complete, healthy spiritually. Isn't that the trendy key word today? Health. Again, we want to do everything we can for these physical bodies. Let us be a people that will do everything that we can for our spiritual welfare as well. To do everything we can for our souls. And this supplies us everything that we need for our souls. Now, it's important for us to establish that this morning. Because next week, when we start taking a look at God's plan of salvation, we're not going to look to what other people are teaching. We're not going to look to what other people believe. We're not going to look to what Christianity in general thinks is okay in order to get us by into salvation. We are going to look to the place that we will know tells us the truth about what we need to do in order to be saved. And that is the Bible, God's Word. God's Word is the authority by which we should do everything within our lives. And something so important, and I hope that everyone will accept this, something so important as the salvation of our souls, which I think is the most important thing in our life, something so important needs to be done according to God's will. It's not something that we should be taking liberty with. And so it is, as we start next Sunday, and like I've already encouraged, if you know of some friends or family members or neighbors, if you can get them here next week, you know they're lost, you know they haven't obeyed the gospel, get them here next week. Let them hear what God has to say about what they need to do. Give them the opportunity for the Word of God to be planted within their hearts. Because I believe, because I've seen it so many times, it's not what I say that holds the power. It's not how I deliver it that holds the power. God's Word holds the power to change lives. And if we can just simply have the opportunity to plant that seed of the gospel within our hearts, then we have done our part, and we will let God water, and we will let God feed it and nourish it to the point that we hope that there will be a response. So get the folks here. You know, invite them. Go out this week. Invite people. Get them here so that they can hear the message. And that's the same, you know, one of the great opportunities you have for evangelism is to do that very thing. You know, you don't have to say a word other than, you know, I would really like for you to go. Let me invite you to church. Why don't you come to church with me and go to worship with me, and then I'll take you out to eat after it's over with. You know, who's going to deny a good meal, right?
So that's a good way to evangelize, get people here to hear what they need to hear for their soul's salvation, the most important message they will hear in their life. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, I know that we haven't got into the details of what I'm about to say, but certainly a lot of you that are here have heard this so many times. The Bible is very simple in its approach of what we need to do to be saved. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's a beginning and that's a starting point. It also tells us we need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be willing to repent, recognize that we have sinned, and make changes within our life towards a more righteous life. And then we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and walk in newness of life and walk in faithfulness from that point on. Again, we'll talk more about that next week, but certainly in its simplicity, that's what the plan of God is. And if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, there's no better time to do that than now. We stand ready to assist you while together we stand and sing.